Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs."
Thank you, Craig. There are several threads weaving their way through our worship service this morning. One of those threads is that of our annual charge conference or church conference with its parables of the pandemic theme. And the other thread comes from our scripture reading from the Gospel of Mark, the one that Craig just read. After a year of companioning and being companioned by Mark, we are approaching the end of the Christian year. This is our last stop in Mark's Gospel before we move into a new year that will take us in and through the Gospel of Luke. So these two things, the church conference, parables of the pandemic, and our final reading from Mark, converge in an interesting way today, and together offer us something rich, maybe challenging, but definitely meaningful upon which to reflect. And at first blush, what these two things hold in common, at least for me, is the reminder that things break. They break up, they break down, they fall apart. And as I sat with that notion this week, I was reminded just how much I don't like that at all. It drove me back to a childhood experience and reminded me of my innate aversion to having things break. Maybe I was a particularly sensitive kid, or maybe this is true of all children, I don't know, but I was crushed when something broke as a child. I remember the time that our dog Sally got a hold of a pin that my parents brought back as a souvenir from some of their travels. It was a pin, but it was also a small doll. I can see now how it probably looked a lot like a dog toy to Sally. So she had all kinds of fun with it. And by the time I retrieved it from her tiny little Lhasa Apso jaws, it was shredded and soggy and altogether broken. It wasn't good for anything but the trash at that point. I wailed. I sobbed. I remember this vividly. I was crushed that this small little trinket was no more. And while my coping skills are somewhat better now, I still struggle with shades of this as an adult. I don't like for things to deteriorate, to break, to fall apart. I don't like it at all. Now, I should back up a few steps and tell you that the reason why the church conference reminds me of this reality that things break is precisely because of its theme, parables of the pandemic. This was also the theme of our California Pacific annual conference meeting last June. Bishop Haggia lifted up the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery called kintsugi, Are you familiar with it? Am I saying it correctly? Kintsugi. If you've seen a repaired pot from this tradition, you know that the lines where the pot broke aren't disguised in any way, but rather accentuated. And in accentuating those places of imperfection with gold or silver or platinum, the repaired pottery is considered even more beautiful than the original creation. At the annual conference, a few different churches shared their parables of the pandemic, holy stories of struggle and brokenness, of restoration and hope, using this image of kintsugi. They talked about that which fell apart was broken in this terribly challenging time, and that which was revealed in beautiful ways, even through the chaos, about God or the world, about faith or hope or love. It's a wonderful image that reminds our sometimes broken hearts and spirits that in God's hands, all is not lost, even when that which is precious to us becomes broken. In God's hands, all is not lost because the potter is still lovingly at work, restoring, repairing, not dismissing or hiding the brokenness, but incorporating it into the whole and into something new. And there is a curiously similar thread that we find in our scripture reading from Mark. Jesus and the disciples were at the temple, and one of the disciples made a comment on its magnificence. "Teacher," he said, "what large stones and what large buildings." It always reminds me a little bit of Little Red Riding Hood, doesn't it? "What large stones and what large buildings." But instead of joining in the oohing and the aahing, Jesus took the opportunity to predict the future destruction of the temple, saying, "You see these buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another here." Now, that must have been unbelievable to the disciples, because the temple was enormous. It was the center of Israelite national life as well as the center of Jewish worship. During the life of Jesus, it was at its largest and grandest scale. Most of the stones used in the construction of the temple were at least 37 and a half feet long, weighing anywhere from 2 tons to 50 tons. No mortar or any other binding material was used because the stones, their stability, was attained just by sheer weight. The walls were as high as 400 feet in one area, and it's been estimated that 250,000 people could fit comfortably within the structure. It was huge. But I imagine that it was hard for the disciples to fathom this prediction of the destruction of the temple, not only because of its size, but also because of what the temple represented. They were a people who had come out of slavery in Egypt, who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, had known exile and want, uncertainty and instability. And here in the temple, in this temple, they finally had a home, a grand home, a permanent home, a place of religious security and certainty. And oh, how good, how understandably good that must have felt to them. But Jesus, with his prediction of every stone being thrown down, reminded them, reminds us, that big things break too. Not just pens and pottery, but buildings and systems, institutions and identities. They can break apart and tumble in pieces to the ground as well. And I imagine that we can all tell a story or two about something that we thought was permanent falling apart. maybe a vocation, maybe some form of family or sense of home, maybe health and wellness, maybe our sense of self or identity or personhood. One such experience for me was when San Diego Hospice came tumbling down. Some of you might remember that organization here in San Diego. I had been working there as a chaplain for 9 years, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. It was known worldwide as a leader in hospice and palliative care. Physicians came from all over for specialized training there. The collaboration between professionals on the care team was unparalleled anywhere else I've ever been. Some of you may have visited that remarkable inpatient care center where many people came for symptom management and many others came to die. To me, San Diego Hospice was one of a kind, a leader in its field, a place that could be called holy ground, where innovative and meaningful work happened 24 hours a day. And yet it came down. With increased Medicare scrutiny, that institution collapsed piece by piece. It was unfathomable at the time, unfathomable to me and to many, that something so established, so special, so thriving could just cease to exist. And in addition to our individual stories, I know you have stories as well, but in addition to our individual stories about things that seemed established and permanent coming to an end, we have shared corporate stories of that nature as well. The most recent of those stories, and one that connects every human being on this planet, is the story of COVID-19, of course. Do you remember how incomprehensible it was at the beginning of all of this? To think that we would stay home from work, from school, from church, even just for a week or two, it seemed preposterous, like that couldn't possibly be. But our assumed way of life collapsed, not just for a short period of time, but over weeks and then months, and then we crossed the threshold of a year. So we, people of this unique time and place, people who are in many ways still living through the unfathomable, might understand more than most what the disciples felt when Jesus said that the temple would come down. The suggestion of that alone rocked their world, and they went to the question that we as human beings so often go to. When, they asked, when will this happen? It's a question that I've asked, we've all asked during this pandemic, I think. When will we hit bottom? When do things finally turn around? When can we go back to this or to that, to not wearing a mask, to hugging our friends without reserve, to blowing out candles on a birthday cake, to eating together, talking together, singing together, laughing together like we used to? When? And at least if we know when, we can get a handle on it, have a little sense of control in the midst of it all. I imagine that's why the disciples asked that question. When will all of this happen? But Jesus, sidestepping the question, went on to offer a warning about not being led astray, knowing that in difficult times, in challenging times, in unimaginable times, people can become very vulnerable. Hold on, Jesus said. Stay the course. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Even when things look like they're falling apart, even when they feel like they're breaking into pieces, hold fast to the knowledge that while the struggle is real and difficult, there is an element of something new being born. By the grace of God, these are birth pangs, Jesus said. that will result in something holy and whole and redemptive and new. Hold on. Stay the course. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Admittedly, that is not an easy thing to do, is it? I'm not entirely there yet. Some days, not by a long shot. You may not be either. Perhaps we are just working our way toward that kind of faith our whole lives long. But the image of kintsugi, the repaired pottery with its places of fracture made beautiful through attention and tender care, and this passage from Mark about the destruction of the temple being a part of the birth pangs leading to something new, push us to consider how we handle life's hardest moments, how we keep faith, hope, trust in the midst of difficult times and circumstances. Debbie Thomas has a webpage called Journey with Jesus, through which she shares reflections on the lectionary readings each week. In reference to this text, she asks the powerful question, can I embrace a journey of faith that includes rubble, ruin, and failure? And the flip side of her question might be, could I possibly find a genuine life of faith that doesn't? Because the reality is, things break. Important, precious things fall apart. And yet we have a God who is a Japanese artist, a master potter, who reminds us that this isn't yet the end of the story, that we and the sometimes broken shards of our lives are not destined for the trash heap. We have a God who says, hold on, stay the course, don't lose heart, don't lose hope. How do we do that? How do we stay the course even when times are difficult? For starters, we don't do it alone, and we often do it through the sharing of stories, stories that become sustenance, strength for our journeys. We hold fast to the story of our faith, the stories of our biblical ancestors, the stories of the saints of our lives. We listen deeply to one another's stories, staying attentive to the ways that our places of fracture can be transformed, shimmering with light, grace, beauty, when others give them attention and tender care. I mentioned to you about churches sharing their stories, their parables of the pandemic at annual conference this past year. Well, each church was asked this year to create their own parable of the pandemic video to be shared at the individual charge conferences or church conferences, what we're doing today. So we'll share ours this afternoon. Each church was asked to tell their own holy story of struggle and brokenness, restoration and hope during these COVID days and months, and now almost years. And I'll confess to you that as lovely as that sounded, I was initially not enthused about this assignment. We had to create so many darn videos for so many months that the last thing I wanted to do, quite honestly, was make another video. Pat and Leanne Walker, our resident video experts, graciously stepped in to guide and assist. They had another event today. And several people, Cambria, Lucia, Beth, Ron, Bruce, and myself, shared a little of our experience from our own stories. And as I watched the video coming together, as I listened to people's stories, I was touched I think we all were. I was moved by the power of the stories that were being told and by the power of the stories that have not yet been told. Because each of us is a part of this community, and truly each of us has our own pandemic story to tell. Wouldn't it be something to collect those stories in some form or fashion that they might honor our individual and corporate experience, that they might become sustenance, strength for us and for generations to come, generations that will encounter their own version of the unfathomable in their life's journey. Things break. Sometimes important, precious things. Sometimes it is beyond unfathomable. Hold on. Stay the course. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. For these are a part of the birth pangs. There is something new and beautiful that is coming into creation that is yet to be born. Relevant words for our time. Relevant words, really, for any time. May we live into these words, into this kind of faith, by leaning into each other. May we hold fast to the sacred story, our own stories, and the life-giving stories of one another. Thanks be to God, Master Potter, greatest of storytellers, who with love, abundant love, is making all things new. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious and almighty God, we do trust that you guide us by your grace, that you lighten our path, that you help us and carry our burdens, that you companion us by your Spirit in remarkable ways. We are so grateful for this beautiful day, and we give you thanks for all that is around us, for those who gather with us on this day near and far. We give you thanks for reminders of that grace so abundant in our lives. We are mindful and heartful of those dear to us who are struggling with illness in body or heart or soul or spirit. We pray for healing for those who are in need of restoration. We pray for strength and determination and patience. We pray for comfort for those who are hurting. We lift up those among us who are grieving, and ask that your comforting spirit would surround each person in their time of need. We know that you know of each hunger, each hope, each want, each desire, and we ask that you would meet us in those places of need, that we might truly know your grace and be transformed by your presence and your love. We know, O God, that we long for permanence and certainty and security in a world that is often so topsy-turvy. There are times when we ask those questions again and again, when and where and why, as we struggle to make sense of things. There are times, O God, that we know that we lose our way. There are times when we lose heart. There are times when we lose hope. We are grateful that you hold on to us and do not let us go. Ground us again and again and again, if needed, in the knowledge of you and in trust in you. Help us, O God, to lean more and more into a life of faith where we find permanence, security, certainty in the mystery and the unfathomableness of you, your all-sufficient grace, and your never-ending love that holds us now, that keeps us forever. We give you thanks for all of the ways that you guide us and use us to be agents of your change and your goodness and your care in this world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.